Radio, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear, and I'm flying solo mode, but I'm not really flying solo because you guys won't have to listen to me. It'll be somebody you actually want to listen to. We have with us a pair of guests. I only knew there was only going to be one of you, so you caught me a little off guard. But we have from Lucifer, who've just released their third album, coincidentally titled Lucifer 3, Johanna Sedanus, and her husband, I guess it's your husband and bandmate, Nick, Nick Anderson, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I got it right. There we go. And, I've last night sat down and listened to the band's discography, and, I love the band's progression from album to album. I think every album is better than the next, which is what you want. It doesn't always happen. What do you guys feel about the band's progression from album to album?
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you very much. I guess an album is always a little bit of a mirror of where you are at that moment in time. And I feel now with the third album that Lucifer has very much fallen into place with finding our sound. And I am very satisfied with the album. Let's see what happens, what people think. It just came out.
Yeah, it came out March 20th. And of course, I imagine with every single album, a little bit more people are starting to get it. Starting to get what you are, because I think with the name Lucifer and these different things, people can have a lot of misconceptions of what type of music it's going to be, but probably with every album there's a little progression. People start to understand kind of the band's unique sound.
Well, yeah, I guess it's hard to catch, if you just get a glimpse of a band, to kind of get the full picture. And for us too, I mean, we're just exploring along the way, and building more and more, and making some sort of depth to the whole shebang.
The whole shebang. It's more than a shebang, that album. Let me tell you, it's got great energy.
Thank you.
I know that. Usually, I guess, Nick, you actually usually come up with the music, and Johanna, you do the lyrics. Is that correct?
No, well, I do what I would call like instrumental sketches. And out of that's how we usually work. Then Johanna sits down with that and tries different melodies to work with that. Well, and then obviously lyrics. So it's kind of how I do it on my own, but I stop immediately when it comes to vocal melodies and lyrics, which usually comes at the same time. But I've since we started working together, I've found it easier than I thought it was going to be to not think about that. So I let that. I pass it on to Johanna, so to speak.
Leave it to the expert.
Exactly. So so I would say it's probably, it's a bit of a 50-50 thing.
And then I know you've described, I've obviously been doing, research on you and your interviews, Johanna. The lyrics come from, you feel the lyrics is almost how I think you've described it in the past. Like they almost come to you from the music. Is that correct?
Yes, often. It's for me, it's a very intuitive procedure. I hear something and that puts me in a certain mood, and then I try to draw a story out of that, or it just wakes like feelings that, stuff that I experience in my life comes to my head, that you try to put into words. But I often also just write down stuff along the way, for future songs. So I have my trunk of treasures where I dig, if I need something, I always write down words and phrases and stuff and ideas. But yeah, they're personal. It's a mix mash of everything. It's a lot of personal stuff, but often, shrouded with metaphors. But then there's also a lot of, for me, fun themes, rock and roll themes, horror stories and whatnot, it's a lot of different things.
it's a lot more of a fun band than I think a lot of people realize. And I say, I think that's where I think that they're with every album, like I say, they're going to, you know, just get it a little bit more. Now, I've heard the theory before that a lot of people think that the music and just kind of creativity is just kind of already floating out there in the universe. And it's just that some people have the ability to kind of grab it and pull it down to themselves and put it out there. What do you think of that idea?
I have no idea.
I've heard that before too. I know what you mean, that you kind of just channel what's already there.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's amazing, you know, when you come up with something and you think, where the hell did that come from? Did I do that? You know?
Well,
I guess. I mean, it is weird if you think about it. It's obviously, it comes from inspiration and you know, you tip your hat to a lot of things, but it also has to come from somewhere. And then, I guess you can't force that. So
I think instead of it coming from somewhere above, it probably comes from a lot of deep down subconscious reservoirs, you know, stuff that you piled up throughout your life, listening to other things and watching movies and so on, and you have that stored away somewhere, and somehow things come out sometimes that you think, where did that come from? But it's probably just some subconscious thing, you know, that just like a dream, kind of, you know, you think, why the hell did I dream about that, and how can I come up with such a crazy story, you know? But it must be there somewhere.
Well, where are all we're the sum of our experiences, right? And those experiences, sometimes, like when we're watching movies or TV or listening to music, sometimes we don't even realize how much of an influence it could be having on us.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, I really love the album. I think it's terrific. And, you know, like I say, better all the time. I can't only imagine where you guys are going to go with what I assume will be Loser for Four.
Ooh,
kids, considering how good this is, just to talk a little bit about some of the songs. Leather Demon was, you released the promotional video for that. So if you could tell us a little bit about that song and why you released that as a video.
I think, we do like the song. I mean, we like all the songs, but we thought maybe it has a little bit of the same... I don't call it a ballad, but it has like a more
moody
verse kind of, and that seems to be, you know, steeped in the same formula as the song Dreamer from the last album. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to work somehow. And then, I mean, the chorus is obviously not a ballad, but it seemed like it worked. And then we thought, maybe that's a little bit of what we do in Lucifer. So why not use that as a promotional video?
Especially because the two singles before that were Ghosts and Midnight Phantom. So you always want to, like, the first few glimpses that you give of an album, you know, shouldn't sound samey. You want to present different moods that people can find on the album. And I'm also a sucker for moody songs, you know. I love stuff like Dream On and Mia by Aerosmith, etc. So,
absolutely. It evokes that emotion.
Oh, that's awesome. That's achieved.
Yeah. And Ghosts, of course, that's the first track on the album. It's the first three tracks, actually, you released. Midnight Phantom, I have to say, is my favorite song on the album. I really, really dig that one. Very much, very catchy, very much stuck in my head. How did that album or that song come together?
I think I started with a riff, that main riff for the verses, which is kind of what I would have written for my old band Entombed almost. And I thought it was interesting to see what Johanna could come up with vocally on top of weird sounding riff like that.
Yeah, and it is a death metal riff.
And
sure.
But it totally worked. And it worked even better than I was hoping for. And then Yeah, other than that, it's just a straight up rock and roll song, I think, with the Lucifer twist or whatever you want.
And well, another song about death.
Of course.
Do you find that sometimes you like to do that? You like to challenge Johanna, or maybe you're just screwing with her. I don't know, but just come up with something that and see what she just see what she does with it.
That is really funny. I have never thought about that, but now it gives me a lot of ideas.
Well, bring it on. I love the challenge.
That would be really cool. You could come up with something really crazy.
Or it almost sounds like you mean I'm going to give something that I know is too weird and then just see what you're going to say about it. And to be polite, you'd be like, ah, it's okay.
No. I can take the challenge. I once told myself I can put vocal melodies on anything, whether or not it's good. That is not for me to decide. But
well, the challenge is on.
I cannot wait for this.
But of course, the album's going to be really fucking weird.
Of course. I hope so. Maybe it won't go on the album, but maybe it'll just be something you guys release a video for. Just something.
I will just send to see. It to you.
I can't wait to hear that. That's a great idea.
It's going to be a podcast-only special.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. You have to contact us and make it an exclusive on this show.
Oh, yeah.
So and a couple more of my favorite tracks on the album, actually. I really love Flanked by Snakes. What a great title that is.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. So how did you come up with that one? What's the kind of idea behind that song?
Well, it never starts with an idea. It just starts with music, whatever comes out of. Well, if we start by my music sketches, then it's just whatever comes out of the guitar I'm playing. But I think I was trying to with that first riff, I was trying to do something that was in the vein of Rainbow. Mm-hmm. But nobody got it. So I guess I thought I was stealing a Rainbow riff, but apparently I didn't. So that, and then Johanna took it further, and now I don't think it sounds like Rainbow at all.
Well, and lyrically, it's a song about cocaine, because Lucifer didn't have a drug song yet. So since that's a very classic thing to do, we had to get that off the to-do list. Flanked by Snakes, you know, the myth of Cleopatra, who committed suicide by laying down in a box of snakes that she got poisoned by, which is an analogy for lines of blow, you know, that poison people.
Yeah, no, that's really, like I say, it's a really cool song, really cool song title. Do you guys have any song titles that you get, you know, the names of songs that you think, oh, that's great, that you really love that you've come up with?
My favorite is Coffin Fever. I thought
Coffin Fever's good.
Yeah. Thank you,
Nika. That's my favorite title.
Well, it's also very fitting right now, the Coffin Fever. I bet quite a few people are starting to get that, being stuck at home.
Or worse, yeah.
Stay Astray is another one that I'm really, I just think is a really cool song. I was kind of hoping it would be released as a single. I probably won't be, but I think it's, again, very catchy.
Oh, thank you.
That is, yeah, that's awesome that you say that, because
it is funny, because we have, within the band, we wrote a list to each other just to see where we're at. Your favorite two songs and your worst two songs, the weakest song. And all of us picked Stay Astray.
As a filler.
As like the weakest of them. But now when the album's out, and people, it's not only you, but people have mentioned that as one of their favorite songs. So I'm glad we put it there.
Yeah, because we weren't so sure to put it on the album, you know.
Oh, really? So,
there you go.
So sometimes you can be terribly wrong, I guess. And that's nice when it turns out that way.
Actually, it brings up an interesting idea? Are you trying to, you know, when you're doing this, are you trying to make music to satisfy the fans or make music to satisfy yourself or just a little bit of both?
No, it's of course us and us only. But then when we're satisfied, then we want to present it as good as possible. That's why we try to do the best track order as possible, and you know. But it's of course it's for us, because if we don't like it, how can we expect anyone else to like it?
Yeah, I was gonna say, so you can't write music and have in mind who you're trying to please or something. You know, it just doesn't work. I think you always have to be able to sleep at night, and you have to be like confident with what you do. You know, so within our household, it's a pretty lonely process of writing because we are just like bouncing off each other. You know, Nick and I, and for me, it's important that both of us think of the song as the greater good. And then later on, you know, when you put it into the bag and you send it out into the world, and if then people can dig it, then, well, that's awesome, you know. But it starts here.
Well, like I say, I'm glad you guys were wrong on Stay Astray.
Me
It really works for
too.
me. When it comes to kind of the music videos and the band's look and that type of thing, how much how on hands are you guys in crafting that part of the band?
Well, I would say there's nothing that we don't do, because we don't, I mean, we don't have a manager. We do every single bit of artwork, from album cover to if there's like a little Instagram post, we do it. We do everything.
Yeah, there's no help, no big machine or something. I mean, okay, the album cover art that was painted by
Oh, yeah.
Graham Humphreys, but like the whole artwork, you know, the how like all the fonts and booklets and the whole imagery, all the tour posters, all that stuff comes from here.
So
And it's
you're working with him to get the right image that you want then.
we don't well yeah, but we kind of just do it. We don't talk so much about it because we're on the same page. I would say the other guys in the band too. And so, well, I mean, we're both Johanna and me are suckers for design and aesthetics and how things are presented, and you know, and it's just something we're very interested in.
It used to be before Nicke was in the band, and I was kind of doing everything on my own for the band. And then I didn't know how to use Photoshop, so I had to make like collages, you know, and drawings, and then sit down next to somebody who can do Photoshop and Nazi around, like, no, do like this, do like that. And it got really annoying. So I eventually went to school to learn Photoshop professionally and just to be able to do that yourself. You know, it's, I think. I'm also very much of a control freak, and since our vision is so clear, and it's so much easier to just go ahead and do it yourself, you know, and it saves a lot of money too.
It doesn't save time, though. That's the only problem.
Yeah.
It's always that mixed time versus money, right?
Yeah,
Yep.
exactly.
But I would say it's a mix between being control freaks and necessity. That's what it is.
So when, I mean, I say I don't know what kind. I know Denmark. What from my family over there, kind of what it's been like. What is kind of the national mood with everything that's going on in Sweden? How are people handling it, yourselves and the bandmates?
Well, it seems like Sweden is different to every other country in Europe. It just seems like it's taken a little, you know, a little bit more lightly on things, which
Unfortunately,
I'm not sure that's a good thing.
I feel like people are not, you know, in other countries, because I'm German and people are staying home now. And in Sweden, kids still go to kindergartens and so on. And I just don't think that's
Wow.
that. Yeah, that's
What?
yeah.
You're
It's a bit
shitting me.
insane. No, Sweden is being criticized by all the other countries around them, you know, that they take it a little too lightly. And we are staying home, you know, and I think most of our friends do as well. But I don't think a lot of people are aware, you know, they just kind of, yeah, it's like a big panic, you know, it's just a flu, which of course we know is bullshit. But I guess with the numbers rising, hopefully the government will, like, hopefully very soon put a lid on it.
Yeah, that's insane. I hadn't heard that any other, I hadn't heard any country was still reacting like that. So that's, you know, I hope it doesn't cause anything terrible happening over there. That'd be horrible. Based on this, though, I mean, obviously, you guys aren't able to perform live.
No.
Do you guys have an idea of what plans you may have? I guess it's difficult to make any sort of plans for a live show.
I think the only thing you can do is plan for, let's say, fall and see what happens. And maybe you have to postpone that too, but you have to try something.
Well, the thing is, we had a May tour, European May tour scheduled, but this is right now being rescheduled for next year. And next week we will go out with all our new dates. We still have a November tour coming up in Europe. Maybe that will still happen. And I mean, we keep that on the radar and just hope for the best, you know, that by that time things can maybe return to normal. But who knows?
Yeah, it's difficult to, you know, you take it as you make the plans, but you have to be prepared to reschedule them if you have to. You know, you have to. It's that's just life now. But if people were to get a chance to come see you in, you know, Europe or Canada, if you were to make it over here, I'm just hinting, you know, anywhere in North America, if people were going to see a live show for Lucifer, what would you want them to know going into it that they're going to get?
I think if anyone hasn't seen us yet, I think they should maybe prepare themselves for a lot more high energy live show than they might think. We deliver a lot of energy. I would say that's.
I don't want to say anything.
No.
The pressure. No, but
no,
I think,
but we do.
I mean, Lucifer has been playing a lot live, you know, the past few years, and I think Lucifer developed into a pretty decent live band. So I don't think, because, you know, some bands are maybe a better album band. I think those are two different beasts, and I think it's a whole different beast when you see Lucifer live, because the songs get a way more raw energy, and I really enjoy that. So hopefully people can draw the same out of it. It feels like it. I mean, we've been to the States. We had three tours for the last album in North America and Canada. So that, you know, seemed to be fun for everyone.
It seems like the type of music that live would be good. No, more than good. Do you stick right to the songs? Is there any improvisation on stage with the songs and that, anything like that?
There are minor things that, you know, you could, like, release an album and then after a year you start comparing the live version to the studio version and you realize, oh, it's actually quite different.
Because
after a while it just keeps changing little by little. And then we have extended endings of some particular songs that, you know, has become like almost an extra bit of the song towards the end.
Yeah, you get like a little bit of a Lynyrd Skynyrd thing going sometimes,
yeah,
between the guitar players and so on, and the rhythm section,
which we like.
That's awesome.
Which also means that Johanna can have a little drink and
or go nuts with a tambourine,
yeah,
or something.
No, but it's all,
it's music that it seems to me music that's well suited to that. So that's great to hear.
I think any music is suited to that. That's how
that's a good point. That's a good point. Do you have any sort of rituals that you guys do to prepare to go on stage, or when you come off to get down from the high of the stage?
Well, before we go on stage, we gather behind the stage and we have like this group hug, and where we all swear to each other to fuck shit up in Toronto tonight or wherever we are, you know.
And I usually throw in, this is going to be the best show ever.
That's awesome.
And usually the guys have a shot. I'm not with them on that because that by that time I'm already into two or three glasses of white wine, and in order for me not to puke on stage.
Yeah, I think the group hug is the closest we get to a ritual. Other than that, we're too busy because we don't have any road crew, so we just set everything up. Same as after the show, you just have a smoke and then go tear down the drum kit or the amps. Or...
Yeah, it's extremely glamorous.
Well, I can only wish you guys, I think that's about the end of our time. I can only wish you guys the greatest of success with the album. Thank you. And you know, then hopefully someday you'll have a massive road crew doing everything for you because you deserve it. You're doing great music. And like I say, I can't wait to see, just to follow you guys, see what comes up next. But with the last couple of minutes, please tell everybody where they should go to find out the latest with Lucifer.
Oh, shoot. I mean, there's so many different outlets, but if you go to lucifer.church, which links to our Facebook page, you find all the links to all the different shops. You can buy the new album in the Century Media web shops or we have a US and a European merch shop. There's different bundles, etc. available. Support your local Lucifer.
Or maybe not even local.
Local, yeah. Your worldwide Lucifer.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I hope we get a chance to talk again sometime in the future.
I hope so too. Thank you very much. And I hope you come to Canada very soon again, probably next year. And if we happen to see you or you see us, please tap us on the shoulder. It would be nice to meet you.
I will absolutely do that. I can tell you I was, before all of this went down, I was about to take a trip to Denmark. And, you know, when all of it is done, I plan to do that. And I plan to travel around a little bit and see some music because, well, nothing better than live music, you know.
That's true. I agree.
Maybe I'll see you there.
All righty. Yeah. Well, I hope so. Okay. Then have a great rest of the day and stay safe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Your faith, the rituals that get your body. That's